Good morning, I'm Jackie Mitchell and welcome to Taking Care of Business live in the RPP FM studios. Glad you could join us for another intellectual show, as today is all about intellectual property, a vital topic for any business owner. So as usual, we have recruited the best experts in the business to join me in the studio to cover as many angles that we can possibly fit in. We have a patent attorney, a trademark specialist, and an e-commerce expert joining me today, all brought to you by our friends at eView Real Estate. If you have an idea for a topic that you'd like discussed, send a message via our Facebook page, Taking Care of Business 98.7 FM, and Twitter at TCOBRPPFM. There'll be links to all topics discussed today. Now, anyone who owns a business cannot afford to miss today's show on intellectual property and a bonus without any legal fees. There is a common myth that we are going to sort out once and for all. When you register a business or a company name, it does not give you ownership of that name. At any time, a company could register a trademark for the business name that you are trading under. Then they own it and could stop you from using that name or close your business down. The cost of fighting it, changing your brand name and starting again is a frightening thought. So we don't want to go there. We want to actually look at prevention rather than cure. So joining me to discuss the ins and out of this vital business topic, we have Saskia Yarn, who is a patent attorney and partner at Phillips Ormond Fitzpatrick. And we also have joining us our trademark expert, Richard Goldsmith, owner of Carroll Goldsmith Lawyers. Saskia Yarn, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thanks, Jackie. It's good to be here.
Really good to have you here. Now, as a patent attorney, what is a patent attorney?
So a patent attorney is someone who's qualified to assist clients in protecting their intellectual property rights. We specialise in registrable rights such as patents, registered designs and trademarks. So patents basically are used to protect the functional aspects of a product or process, such as, you know, if you have a new widget or an improved manufacturing process, that can be protected by a patent. Registered designs protect the way in which something looks. So if you know, you're a furniture designer and you've come up with a new chair, then we can protect the appearance and configuration of the chair with a registered design. And then, of course, there's trademarks which cover brand names, slogans, logos and those sorts of things.
Yes, well, I'd like to welcome again our trademark expert, Richard Goldsmith from Carroll Goldsmith Lawyers. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business.
Thanks for having me back, Jackie.
It's always good to have you, Richard. Richard's our legal eagle, our Taking Care of Business legal expert. Now, as a trademark specialist, what does that actually entail? What do you do?
Well, dealing with trademarks, dealing with any business, where the value often lies is in the reputation of the business, and where possible, it's important to protect those, and one of the ways we can do that is registering a trademark.
And how do you go about registering one?
Well, look, it's a process you do through a government statutory body, IP Australia. I guess what's important to understand is that there's a big difference between, I think you said at the top of the show, between a trademark and having a registered business name or even a company name. What registering does is give you a right. The right exists in the registration that you've done in that trademark and gives you the ability to protect it. If you don't register it, all you're relying on is your reputation, and trying to protect your reputation is a much more costly and time-consuming thing to do.
It is. Now, with a patent, Saskia, you can also patent plants as well, can't you?
Well, that's a special type of right called a plant breeder's right.
Right.
So, yes, if you develop a new
rose or something,
rose or grass or something, you can protect it with a plant breeder's rights. But that's, yeah, it's quite a specialised area. So patents are, you know, more limited to processes and products, but the way in which they work. And a patent, it's an exclusive monopoly right, so it's quite a powerful tool which allows you to exclude others from, you know, manufacturing, selling, exporting, importing that particular product for a maximum period of 20 years. So it's a very, very powerful right that allows you to, you know, effectively control the market.
So if you've invented something, Which stage of that invention, which stage of the process should you apply for a patent?
Well, you should go and see a patent attorney as early as possible so that you can get advice on the best time to apply for a patent application. It's often a balancing act because with a patent, as opposed to a trademark, it's very important that you apply for the patent application before your invention is in the public domain. So you must keep it a secret. Because if you manufacture it or you start, you know, commercial negotiations, then you're basically preventing yourself from obtaining valid patent rights. So it's very important to go and speak with a patent attorney early on in the process, because there will be a balancing act between ensuring that your invention is well enough developed that you can actually obtain, effective patent protection, because you can't obtain patent protection for just the idea or the concept. Mm. It needs to be the actual implementation of that novel idea. And it's important that it's well enough developed so that, you can provide a very detailed description of what your invention is.
Yeah. So would you advise, and Richard, I'm asking you as well, sure, would you advise if you've come up with an invention and you've got staff that you get them to sign some sort of confidentiality agreement?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important that, to have your employment contracts reviewed by, a commercial lawyer to ensure that, you have control over that intellectual property.
That actually happened with Facebook. Did you see that movie, The Social Network, when Mark Zuckerberg, the twins had developed the concept, and then they inspired him to then go on and develop Facebook, and they had an enormous lengthy legal battle about that as well.
Yeah, that's right. I think from memory, he was probably retained by them in some capacity to develop some or write some code for them that he saw and developed further. But with those employment contracts, you often will include provisions that will specifically say any development in any IP, they will assign the rights to the employer. So I think that's what we're talking about there.
With a trademark, the process from when you first apply, it's about how long does it take? So say, for instance, you're starting a new business, that should be one of the first things you do is apply for it, because there is an application process before it gets registered, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It you submit the application, it needs to be examined. So an examiner from IP Australia will have a look at it and make sure that it's not clashing or in conflict with anything else that might be registered, and certainly make clear that it's something that can be registered. And there's all sorts of things that can be registered, not just the business name. I saw recently that there's, sounds can be registered.
And smells?
Smells as well. So, and the shape of a bottle can be registered as a trademark. Well, so the famous Coke bottle is registered as a trademark. So no one can obviously copy that. And there's been cases, I think, about that.
I think an important point for businesses to remember too is that it's not just about registering the trademark rights, but if you want to use a trademark, do a search to make sure that you're not going to be infringing third party rights, because as Jackie said earlier on, it's, it can be a very expensive mistake if you start using a trademark and then find out that, you're infringing someone else's rights and you have to change your trademark.
So it almost goes with the idea. You have this idea in your head and you start thinking, I might explore this idea. At that point, right at that point, the beginning, go to IP Australia. I think it's ipaustralia.gov.au, and there's a search function there called Atmos, ATMOSS. Click onto that. It's a free search function. Enter as a guest. That's my tip, because it looks like you have to enter numbers and things. You can as well to check if you've already got a trademark in process to see where it's at. But just enter as a guest. And then you can search, can't you, all the different trademark to see if anyone else has got it or if there's something similar there. That's a really good place to start, I think. Now, with the patent, how long does that take? Does that take the same amount of time to register as a trademark, or
much longer? Right, okay. It's quite a lengthy process. But the patent application process is also quite expensive. So while people are initially sometimes frustrated by the amount of time it takes, the whole idea is, yeah, it will take 3 to 5 years to get a patent from application to grant. But hopefully during that time, you'll actually be earning some revenue from your product that's covered by the patent, which will help you to fund those patenting costs.
So it's covered even during the application process?
Well, you can't enforce it until it's granted, but any damages that you can claim down the track after grant will be backdated to when your patent application was published.
And trademark takes 6 months, is it, or something like that?
Well, through initial examination, it could take that long, and up to about 12 to 15 months from assuming it goes through fairly standard, that's how long it would take to get registered. But again, those rights backdate to when you first made the application.
Right, it's all the same message. If you fight the law usually wins. So I think it's time for the clash with their version of I fought the law and the law won. We are talking intellectual property. We have Richard Goldsmith here and Saskia Yarn, our patent attorney and trademark specialist. Richard, with trademarks, can you lose it?
Look, I guess you could apply the use it or lose it to that. We had a client who was interested in registering a trademark come to us a year or two ago. The trouble we had is that on the registration was a mark that was kind of similar to the one he had, but doing some investigation, it was apparent that that trademark hadn't been used for some time. So we were able to make a non-use application to IP Australia, and that put the onus back on the owner of the trademark to prove use. And so that was a period of 3 years prior to the application we made. They had to show some use. They didn't even appear or produce any information.
Right.
So clearly they didn't have any use for that trademark and didn't...
What's the definition of non-use? Like, if say for instance, if you were in the planning stage, so you'd registered the trademark, you've had designs done, you may have employed some staff in preparation, you aren't actually trading per se, but you're still in the business planning phase. Is that considered non-use? It's a grey area, I know.
Well, there's a grey area. We're talking off air about there being a period of 5 years when you first register for there to be some development, I guess is what we're talking about. But when we're talking about use of trademark over a longer period of time, we're talking about use in trade and commerce. So it's got to be out there. It's got to be used to identify your goods or your services. So it's got to be used as a trademark.
So say you've done all the right things, you've due diligence and you've registered your patent and your trademark. Saskia, if someone is using, so you've registered your patent and you find out someone else is using it, you know, they're unauthorised to use it, as the owner of that patent, what do you do? What's the process?
Well, ideally the first thing you'll do is go and see your patent attorney because you do need to be careful in how you handle these sorts of issues. You know, I've seen some clients get, you know, quite angry and frustrated that someone's taken their idea you know, sometimes take the wrong course of action. Mm. But, you know, you do need to be a bit careful because generally what we will try and do is make a trap purchase, and that needs to be done in a particular way so that if down the track, you know, if this does become, you know, a matter that goes to court, those trap purchases need to be made in a particular way in order for them to be admissible as evidence in a court of law. So you do need to be careful. You don't want to accuse someone of infringing your patent and have them, you know, take down their website or stop offering the product for sale. I mean, sometimes that is, you know, the ultimate goal is just that you want them to stop, but you do need to be careful of alerting them that you're onto them before you decide what you want to do.
And the same goes, I guess, for trademarks. We'd start with a letter to the person and allege that they're infringing our client's trademark, and certainly it's just a simple cease and desist letter and see if that can open a dialogue, and often we'll be able to negotiate an outcome. Some people don't even realise that they're infringing someone else's intellectual property in that way. So, and there are others that will see a letter from a lawyer, tear it up and throw it in the bin. So
if someone else is using your trademark, is it possible to then, rather than say cease and desist, to go, well, you're using my trademark, you're infringing on my legal rights, you need to pay me a licensing fee?
Well, that would maybe one remedy that you might seek, certainly a can of profits. If you think that they're making some money off your trademark, that would be the logical remedy you'd seek, some damages. If it's something that you're not using, then perhaps you could suggest a license agreement, but it'd be fairly rare. If it's something that you want to use, you'd want to retain ownership. I mean, that's the purpose of that registration.
Something else to be careful of is, you know, when sending these cease and desist letters, and, you know, if you get a legal representative to do it on your behalf, they'll be aware of this. But, you know, sometimes I've seen clients send their own letters, and you have to be very careful of, you know, not making threats of infringement proceedings, because then the infringer can actually sue you for making these unjustified threats. So it's a bit of a can of worms.
So would you ever advise a client to ring them directly and say, look, can you just ring and say, hey, just, you know, you're using my trademark, just are you aware of it? And have an open dialogue, or do you think it's best to go straight to your legal advisor?
There are, like Saskia was saying, there's a few steps you've got to be aware of. Certainly from our point of view, we try and take a practical outlook on these things and try and get a practical result for our client, because that's in their commercial interests rather than high legal fees, which is in my interests.
Yeah.
We often try and encourage the people we're accusing of breaching these trademarks to call us, and rather than saying in bold and underlying at the bottom of my letter, but I would certainly say please telephone to discuss. And so a way of opening that dialogue, as I said, some people may not even be aware that they're breaching someone else's rights in that way.
A mental roadblock or a practical roadblock for lots of businesses going down this path is, you mentioned legal fees, is the cost. Now, I don't expect you to give me exact cost, but can you just give me a ballpark? So, Richard, if you're going down the trademark, registering it, you can register a trademark for, what, $500?
Well, look, it depends on how many different classes.
Right, okay.
Because as you register your trademark, you're registered under different classes. Mm. Goods and services are classified in certain ways.
So if you had a trademark under one service, it was quite specific what you were doing.
Yep.
And particularly in the service industry, mm-hmm. as opposed to products, I think they're reasonably specific.
Sure.
Would it be, you'd be around about $500, wouldn't it?
That would include legal fees as well, I imagine.
Yeah, okay.
Perhaps a little bit more, but yeah, it's $200 a class, and that can add up fairly quickly.
So it's reasonable. Yeah, but that's reasonable, and you've got it for 10 years.
10 years, that's right.
So I think that's really good too. Now, with patents going for a couple of years, how much does it cost to do that?
I mean, patents are a bit more complicated because while it only costs a few hundred dollars to file a patent application with IP Australia, if the patent specification hasn't been professionally drafted, it's quite unlikely that it's going to actually cover the invention in the way that it should. It is a skill being able to draft a patent specification. Registered patent attorneys are the only people that have been trained to do this. And we do occasionally see people file their own self-drafted patent applications, but in most cases, they won't actually cover the product that they're trying to protect.
So if I'm planning for this, and I'm obviously in the planning process, you do a budget, how much should I allow in the budget for this?
Look, it will depend on how complex the invention is, but it's a lengthy process, but to file the initial patent application, you'd be looking at anywhere from, you know, $4,000 to $8,000.
Okay, right. So if you put $10,000 in there for a patent, and then for a trademark, if you allocated $1,000, that's heaps, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is a lot. And,
yeah, so that's good.
But I think what is important to understand, it's certainly with a patent and as much with a trademark, is that you're making an investment and it's something that you own, it's something that you can assign to others, and it's something you can license to others to use. So, you know, if you believe in what you're doing and you think there's some genuine value in there, then these processes sound expensive as you throw a figure out there, but long term it's an investment in the future.
Oh no, I think trademark's really good value for money, and I think the patent is, if your invention, you've done your due diligence and you're planning well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it, really, to protect it.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And generally, before you spend that amount of money, you know, you'll be given advice as to what your prospects are of actually obtaining, you know, valid patent protection. Mm. And then you can make an assessment as to whether the commercial advantage that you'll gain by having that patent is sufficient to justify the expense.
And of course, if it's an international one, it gets bigger again, isn't it?
Yeah,
so we're just talking in Australia.
Yeah.
Richard, if someone's got a trademark that they might say own in the US or Europe, or they might have but you own the Australian one, mm. and they come into it, use it in Australia, is there grounds to tell them to cease and desist, that they can't use that your trademark in my country?
Look, that's a fairly complex area, depending on when they obtained their registration mm. and what country that was in mm. and whether or not there is a genuine dispute or confusion in the public about who is who in the marketplace. Mm. So it's a bit of a complex area. But, yeah, it looks generally you would certainly hope that you'd be able to protect your registered trademark in Australia.
And a warning, when you do apply for a trademark, and this has been my experience, is that sometimes you get these odd letters afterwards asking for thousands of dollars, and it's a scam. Mm. Because your trademark's been publicly or gazetted, I think they call it in government terms, it's been publicly displayed for anyone to oppose it, then that's public knowledge. So there's these scammers. Have you come
that's right,
that?
Yeah. Look,
be careful.
About a month ago, I applied for a trademark for a client of mine, and, you know, a month later they sent across a fax, and it was an invoice for about $1,500 from some place, I think it was in Germany or something like that, you know, which looked, you know, legitimate, looked, you know, fairly authentic. And they were asking me, oh, do we need to pay this?
Yeah.
So plenty of people get stung
caught.
By them.
So go to IP Australia and have a look on their website, because they do, and ScamWatch. ScamWatch is a really good website to sign up to as well. Help is on its way, as we talk to our experts about intellectual property. And the Little River Band has an interesting case whereby they lost the right to use the name or play as Little River Band or LRB. I don't know if many of you, the listeners, know this story, but the last remaining member of Little River Band, a guy no one's ever heard of, owned the trademark, and the three founding members, Bea Birtles, Glenn Shorrock and Graham Goebbels, went on to perform reunion concerts. But because they'd lost the rights to the name Little River Band and LRB, they appeared under the name Birtles, Shorrock, Goebbels. And the trademark owner has effectively stopped Birtles, Shorrock and Goebbels from using references to LRB or Little River Band from now on. So as an iconic band, it was a really bad business advice they must have been given by their business manager for that guy to own that trademark, considering that they created it. But joining us now to talk about this further, our regular segment, New Age Commerce, with Grant Arnott. Hi, Grant. Welcome back.
Hi, Jackie. Good to be here.
Now, you had some trademark breaches, talking about Little River Band, in one of your companies, Click Frenzy, didn't you?
Yeah, we've certainly been through some trademark issues and really still ongoing to a certain extent. Click Frenzy, for those who don't know, it became a national hit all overnight, really.
I think everyone knows Click Frenzy, yeah.
So it's a huge online mega sale that happens in November every year. And what happens online is that draws extraordinary attention and extraordinary levels of traffic. So there were a whole lot of internet searches on the term Click Frenzy. So a lot of online retailers started trying to leverage Click Frenzy and add it into their marketing and put it on their site in order to try and attract traffic that we thought was rightfully ours. Now, when we first started, we didn't have the trademark fully registered. By our second event, we did. So we started sending out, or our legal team started sending out infringement notices to those that we saw not only breaching in terms of using the term on the site, but actually using our logo, using our theming, which was nationally recognised, to try and siphon off traffic that should have been coming to our site. And, you know, our model is not only, you know, about us, but it's about the retail brands that put their faith in Click Frenzy to deliver all of these online shoppers.
Yep.
And so anyone who's competing against that is not only impacting Click Frenzy, but all of the retailers who are trying to participate in Click Frenzy under, you know, our promise of delivering them online shoppers. So we took it very seriously. We still do take it very seriously. And we had an incident with an online retailer named Kogan, who I'm sure many others would know as well. And he's, you know, well known as a bit of a maverick in the industry, and that's his position. But he, Richard earlier talked about those who get the letters and put them in the bin. I think he was in that category and just blatantly refused to comply with what we thought were reasonable demands to take down the terms Click Frenzy and the branding that he was clearly using, in our opinion, to drive traffic to his site. So it's still, you know, not yet been resolved, but it's a classic case of online, I feel like you have to work that much harder to protect your trademark. It does seem like it's easier for, and there's a bit more open season on, and I'm happy to hear from our legal experts here today, but it seems like it's open season more in the digital world.
We've had a situation where a client of ours had a registered trademark. One of the issues with registering a trademark is it shouldn't be descriptive, but if you build up enough goodwill in it, you can get it registered. And the problem my client had was that it was so descriptive, people used it in their Google AdWords. And so we wrote to Google to say, well, look, it's actually an infringement of our client's trademark. But their response was, well, it's just a description of the services, so we're not going to do anything about it. So it took some negotiation with the person who was using it. And luckily for us, they chose to change that. I'm certain they'll probably be using the trademark in the Google AdWords to generate the search terms, but it wasn't displayed, so we'll happily enough with that. But that's one of the issues that you have dealing with Google is trying to have them help supervise the trademarks.
And one of the things Google had in place a few years ago, which was a very fair system, we thought, was you could register your trademark as a business, you could register it with Google, and that would prevent the behaviour that you're describing there, Richard, where people would insert your branded or your trademark term into Google AdWords. Google dropped that requirement about 12 months ago, which unfortunately again means it's open season on everyone's trademarks, and we're seeing Click Frenzy used very widely in all sorts of AdWords marketing.
Grant, what must a business consider when registering a domain name?
Look, I think obviously you want to register your own domain name. The day you decide on the name of your business, I think, is when you should register your domain name or make sure it's available because it's disappointing if you come up with a great business name and go through the process of registering it with the ABN or registering a business name for it and find out that the domain name is not available. And it's also important to extend on, you know, the basic domain name. For example, if your domain name is clickfrenzy.com.au, we probably made a mistake of not registering all of the possible combinations. Registering domain names is cheap. It might cost you $20 a year per domain.
Yeah, and you can search for free. So you can go on to many websites, Crazy Domains or Net Registry.
Yep. My recommendation would be to stay away from Crazy Domains, but Net Registry and Melbourne IT. Probably can't say too much, but there's rumours that they're on under a cloud.
Right, so. And so if you've got domain name registered with them, what should you do? Can you switch them over to someone else?
Yeah, you can switch your registrar, and you know, people, don't take my word for it. Go and scour the internet forums and learn a bit about it yourself as to what's going on. You can certainly switch domains. Look, the ones that we recommend are the Australian businesses, Net Registry, and also Melbourne IT, which are actually the same entity now. Those are good ones to reliable sources to register your domain with. But yeah, the important thing is, as I say, it's cheap and a worthwhile investment to get multiple combinations of your domain, particularly with a hyphen included. One of the ways we got worked over by Kogan was that he actually registered click-frenzy.com.au. I don't want to promote this as a negative practice to sabotage other businesses, but it's something that impacted us, and you know, was able to get him a lot of traffic that rightfully should have been ours, and that's certainly part of the ongoing trademark dispute.
Would you recommend in Australia that you'd always try and get .com.au?
Absolutely. You want .com.au, and if available, .com. As I say, if your word happens to be two names like Click Frenzy or Power Retail or MediaPad, which are some of the other businesses that I've involved with, that you'd get the Click-Frenzy version, the Power-Retail version, the Media-Pad version as well, because otherwise others, if you are successful, can use that to siphon off your audience.
Is the law slow, in your opinion, in keeping ahead of these digital loopholes? Because the digital world's moving so fast. And is the law keeping up with these sort of issues, in your opinion?
Look, not in my opinion, because we thought we had a fairly clear-cut argument. It depends what you mean. I mean, it impacts us most when we have an event. If it were to happen again, we'd look at other remedies. I mean, we're a young business. We've only been around 18 months and we're learning as well. But, one of our options would be, which I don't know if it was discussed earlier, but would be potentially an injunction around the time when it would impact us most. Because what we learnt is, okay, is it having a significant impact on our business now, which is in between events? And the answer is probably not. So can we do much about it now? Probably not. But certainly when it's clear that it's going to have an impact on our business around the time of an event, then we would take greater action.
Just on the issue about whether the law is slow, one of the issues, and I guess that the listeners need to understand, is that incorporation of a company, a business name, a domain name and a trademark are all four separate rights. And there's no one body that looks at all four of those and determines who's right and who's wrong and who can't use and who has the right to use those things. So that's one of the issues, I guess, that needs to be understood.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Yes, we are taking care of intellectual property business. Welcome back. Richard, a trademark is actually a business asset, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's a property right, and the right you have is created by the fact that you've registered it. One of the issues, I guess, that we come up and we see is people, they register the business name and they develop a reputation in the market, they sell a fantastic product or they provide a great service, and there's some goodwill that's generated about that, around that. But when it comes time to perhaps sell the business, it's difficult, other than a business name, to transfer. But with a registered trademark, you have a property right in that, and transferring that, it creates some real value in their business.
And you can sell it as well, can't
That's
you?
Right. That's right. You can sell it and certainly license it, which can generate ongoing income for
and
some people.
Through franchising?
That's right. Yeah.
And can you mortgage it?
Look, it's an interesting question. Perhaps you can. I think there's a new Personal Property Security Act, which is that was created in the idea that you could raise funds on different types of property. So it's an interesting concept. But, yeah, it's not something I've heard of.
Can I give you that as some homework to do?
Certainly.
Because if it is an asset, yeah, it'd be interesting that then, be able to use it as more. Like now the antiques world, you can do that too. If you've got antiques, you can actually use as an asset, and you can mortgage antiques and create funding. It's always good to find different ways to get funding, particularly if you're running a small business. Now, with the patent side of things, Saskia Yarn, what's the final tip you've got for anyone who's got an invention or they're in that process and they haven't gone down the path of it? What would you recommend they do?
I think, as I said earlier on, the main tip is just to definitely seek advice early. So go and see a registered patent attorney to establish whether you have rights that can be protected by a patent or some other form of intellectual property right, and also to ensure whether you should be doing any due diligence to make sure that you're not going to be infringing third-party rights.
Yeah. Now, just another quick question. I'm curious. Why are you called an attorney and not a lawyer? Is there a reason for that?
Most registered patent attorneys in Australia, we're not actually lawyers.
So it's a
specialist postgraduate legal training. To be a patent attorney, you have to be degree qualified in an area of technology that gives rise to patentable subject matter. So scientists, engineers, Because the most important thing is to be able to understand the technology behind the invention.
Sure, because it's very American term, the attorney. Yes. I thought it might have had it, but it's nothing to do with that, is it?
No.
Okay, there you go. I like learning new things.
I like that.
You like that question?
Didn't know that myself.
No, there you go. Richard,
yes.
What is your big final tip for trademark businesses with trademarks?
Use it or lose it. And if you want to get it into the market, I say go hard. I think one of the issues that we were talking about off air was the thing about whether or not using the trademark is, or whether sharing it with other people, you risk other people taking your ideas away and all those sorts of things. So I think especially with a trademark, you need to use it and get yourself out in the market and create that reputation.
How do you know if someone else has applied for your trademark?
Well, you need to keep a good eye on the register. If you're concerned about that, you're certainly not going to be notified by IP Australia. And that's the point I was probably raising earlier, is all these, the business registration, incorporation and domain names are not talking to each other. So the fact that someone might be doing that, you're not necessarily going to be notified.
Should they be talking to each other?
In an ideal world, yeah.
I think they should. Yeah. You might do another campaign, I like starting campaigns. So my backup campaign a few weeks ago.
Write some letters to your local member.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we've got the minister coming in, I think, in June. So that might be a question there. But it's difficult for small business to know these things. So it's probably a good idea. What would you recommend, once every 6 months, or to go on to IP Australia, check your trademark, check if anyone else has applied for something similar, because you can actually put an opposition notice in, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. The simplest thing to do would be to apply for your own, and so that way you monopolise that particular mark and you're not at risk of someone registering a trademark that's similar to yours.
So. And you hope when they've got the what are the people called that do the reviews of the
examiner.
Trademark? The examiner, that's right. That the examiner, there's still that element of human error. The examiner might then go, I think that's a bit different from all these other ones that you've registered.
Is that a risk? No, I think so. I wouldn't disparage IP Australia. I'm sure they do a great job.
I'm sure, but I think as a business owner, you've got to take responsibility for that, don't you?
Oh, you certainly do. But look, as a small business owner myself, you know, we've got limited resources. Mm. So there's often, I guess, you need to outsource these jobs to specialists, and that's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Grant Arnott, have you got a tip you'd like to leave us with from the digital realm of
look, digital or otherwise, I think defending your intellectual property is important, but I guess more important is to carry on with business and do it the best way you can. So make sure you look after your trademarks and defend your IP and let your lawyers take care of that, but don't become so hung up on that you forget the bigger picture, which is actually competing and doing what you do exceptionally well, and then your trademark problems will generally not be such an issue.
I've got a quick scruples question for the panel.
Scruples,
yeah. It was a game, wasn't it, about, your ethics.
You're asking the wrong people.
Probably. No, that's why I thought I'd ask you. What would you do if you found another business? I'll start again. You want to start a business. You realise there's a business name already out there, but they haven't registered the trademark. Do you go and register the trademark and kick them out? Or, I mean, what do you do?
Oh, it's a tough one for me. I think, look, I would go for it. It's all fair in business.
Yeah, it's a commercial aspect. I suppose that the message is to make sure your business name's trademarked, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, but if they've got a big following already, I wouldn't want to be passing off as someone else or be perceived to be such anyway. So if they're established anyway, I don't know if I'd want to use the same name if I was offering a different product.
I'd like to thank our expert panel, Saskia Yarn, patent attorney and partner at Phillips Orman Fitzpatrick. Thank you very much, Saskia, for coming into the studio today. Our trademark specialist, Richard Goldsmith, owner of Carroll Goldsmith Lawyers in Mornington. Thank you, Richard. It's always good to see you, and always a delight to see Grant Arnott, e-commerce expert from Power Retail. Next week, we are talking about startups and how to get your new business off the ground. Stay with Ottawa PFM. Coming up after the news is Navigating Change with Sina Summers. If you missed a program or want someone you know that'll benefit from this one, podcasts are on the website, ottawapfm.com.au. As part of your basic business practice, be aware of what is your intellectual property and what is somebody else's. protecting your business by registering your trademark. It's not hard or expensive. So here is protection with Protect Yourself. To see us into the weekend, I look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, take care of your business by protecting it.